Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We have finished the Gospels. We are going on into Acts, but we're going to do a little recap of the four Gospels and go on into Acts. So get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Rachel from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is in Matthew 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heavens. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Jesus Christ. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great.
This chapter 5 of the book of Matthew is the opening statement on the sermon when Jesus went on and taught them on the Sermon on the Mount. And we see the term, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those that are persecuted, blessed are the meek, and so on. And that word blessed is used in churches almost runaway. It's rampant. It's used disrespectfully. This word here in Matthew doesn't even mean the same as blessed. It has to do with a person's contentment or how happy they are. And there's so much contentment you can get on this earth. This is actually talking about a happiness that is above all. It's not attainable to the regular man. The only way you can be this happy is you have to be above the earth. You'll not find it on the earth. It's above this earth. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's on a mountain. What do you think he's trying to say with being on the mountain?
This is a high thought.
Yeah. Doesn't he say, set your mind on the things above? Doesn't he say, look up, your salvation draws near? He talks about the kingdom of the heavens. Change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens. So what would you immediately do if somebody says, Change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is right at hand. Would you look down?
No. I'd look up. Like, where are you talking about? Where? But you'd look up.
And Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on the things above. It's just a background or a backup to that. So he is telling us immediately when he says Makarios. Now, it's a funny thing about that. People, they call a hamburger big. That's not big. Look at Jesus would feed them with so many loaves of bread. He fed the thousands. How many people do you think Big Mac could feed? Well, you couldn't even live on one Big Mac a day. You'd have to eat several. Yeah. I'll call them Little Macs. Our word for Mac, you know, sales, do salespeople exaggerate a little bit?
Sometimes.
Do politicians exaggerate? Do church leaders exaggerate?
I've heard that 1,000 times.
I told you 1,000,000 times to stop exaggerating. It's ridiculous. A lot of the colloquialisms, a lot of the, you know, sayings that people speak or whatever, they're gross exaggerations. Micro means so small, you need a microscope to go see it. Maybe invisible to the human eye, but a macro is huge. So this word blessed is not blessed. It means hugely out of this world, not attainable to the man, not attainable to the fallen man, happy. This fallen nature of man has to be corrected before you can be this happy. I'm just going to make it that plain of a statement. Adam fell. How happy do you think he was when he was kicked out of paradise? Let's say then you got to go live in a slum. How happy would you be if you get kicked out of the best neighborhood? The best neighborhood on this earth is nothing like paradise. You wouldn't like it if you got kicked out of a nice neighborhood. Think of Adam and Eve getting kicked out of paradise. Any comments so far?
It'd be pretty disappointing.
It would affect them, everything about them.
It would affect your mood.
You would look down and you would be in turmoil, not in the kingdom of the heavens. You wouldn't be up. You'd be down all the time.
This is not talking about blessing your bread. This is not talking about blessing the meal before you eat. I don't know where that comes from anyway, making your food happy. You know, is that a happy meal to people? It's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing people can say. If they're thinking of this scripture right here to bless your meal, it is a really ridiculous statement. We don't talk the way the Bible does because we talk in a fallen language that a lot of words are used wrongly, and words that should be respected are not respected in the right way. It's found 9 times in there, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens.
Yep, 9 times.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, that says that in Matthew. So now I'm going to say something that maybe I mentioned just a little bit before in Matthew when we did Matthew, but this is the perfect opener in the Beatitudes to the book of Acts. Because all of this is going to be fulfilled in the book of Acts. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. In other words, a person, the opposite of the poor in spirit is a man that always talks about himself. You'll hear the word I come out of his mouth constantly. So the poor in spirit is not a person that has a big I in his heart. He's empty. He wants better. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Who's the comforter? The Holy Spirit. You're not happy with yourself. You want the Holy Spirit to take over in your life. God's Spirit, the eternal. You know, another name for the Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit. Do you want to just live a short period of time, or do you want to in misery, or do you want to live forever in this new world where you are happy beyond any happiness you've ever had in your life? You cannot even imagine this realm. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those, keep going, Dan.
Who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Oh, now who is the King of Righteousness?
The Holy Spirit.
His name is Melchizedek, which means the King, Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness. That's his name.
And the King of Peace.
And he is the King of Peace. Keep going.
And blessed are the merciful. This is really interesting. These are the characteristics of someone who's blessed.
Holy Spirit filled. Makarios. Hugely blessed. Blessed beyond human capability.
So this kind of person is poor in spirit. He mourns. He's meek. He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He's merciful. He's pure in heart. He's a peacemaker, peace between him and God and between him and helping men become at peace between God.
They can see God.
They can see God. And they also are persecuted for the sake of righteousness.
Now, when they're peace doers.
They're peace doers.
When you can see God, you can ideo God.
And they're sons of God.
That's right. Yeah. Wow.
And now what's opposite of that is somebody that's proud. And he's satisfied with his condition here on earth because he's the top dog. So all these characteristics have to be there. And then Acts, as we get into Acts, you'll see right away what happens to people. Peter, wait till you see the change in Peter. Here, Peter, that Jesus says, get behind me, enemy. He stepped in front of him because of pride. He got the keys to the kingdom. And the first thing he does, he steps in front of him and he says, get behind me, enemy. But you see a whole different Peter in the book of Acts, whole different person. Is there anything else in that before we go to Acts? Acts chapter 1?
And another reason you see Peter is he denied Jesus 3 times.
Yeah.
He got in front of Jesus. He denied him 3 times. It looks like he had just gone off the skids. And it's because of all these things happening. He didn't have the power to be better or to be a different man. And so that's what we're going to see what happens to him in the book of Acts.
And man cannot do this on his own. He has to do what God says. He has to start with step number 1, repent. It starts repentance, then it starts in Mark, but it starts in Matthew. That journey starts, and it says, come after me. So we have to walk in Jesus' footsteps, and if we do that and continue to the very end, all these things are going to overtake us. It says they will actually overtake us. Remember that scripture? They'll overtake us. And I'm talking about a good way.
Yeah.
Chapter 1 of Acts 1 through 5. Now, this Theophilus, I don't believe it's a person. They've capitalized it, but Theo is God and Philos is a friend of God.
So, friend of God.
Oh, friend of God.
That's the way that's what I've said when I've looked at it before.
Or lover, either a friend or a person that has this phile love for God, the brotherly love for God.
The first treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was received up, after commanding through the Holy Spirit the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And being assembled with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you heard from me, because John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence.
So this is 40 days. First, Jesus was in the grave 3 days. And so this is 43 days after he died on the cross. Add the 40 to the 3 days that he was in the grave. So there, on the 50th day, which is this is This is one week later when this is all will take place. So this is 43 days after his death on the cross. And then by the time we get to Acts chapter 2, this is the week before this great Macarius, this great, hugely happy event is going to take place that is going to change men into sons of God. Can you imagine being invited to God's house? People call their churches God's house. They're not. That's Pastor Jim's house. That's Pastor such and such. But I mean God himself. To be invited to God's house and eat at his table. This is what's going to happen. Not just a man's that calls himself. They say this is God's house, but they really haven't given it to God. They haven't given the title to God. They have not given it to God for his will to always be done in that house. They haven't given the attitude of the house really to God. Can you imagine eating at God's table? Verses 6 through 12.
They therefore, having come together, asked him, saying, Lord, restorest thou at this time the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has set within his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come within you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And on saying these things, he was taken up, they looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, lo, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Galilee men, why stand ye looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey off. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper chamber where they were abiding, both Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. These all with one accord continued steadfastly in prayer with the women, with Miriam, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
I noticed in, this is the last context we read, but in verse 5, he said that John baptized with water, and then he tells him, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
7 days.
Immersed, or yeah, seven. Yeah. It's another form of baptism.
You'll be immersed. Well, there was somebody mentioning something, and they think, you know, you're baptized once, that's all you need. But it's interesting, in Hebrews 6, it talks about the doctrine of baptisms. There's actually three baptisms in the Bible. And it was likened to them coming out of Egypt. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud. So when they first came out, first off, God protected them from the Egyptian army, keeping them in the cloud. And the cloud was dark and foreboding to the Egyptians. It kept them away from the people of God, God's people. And to the Egyptian, or to the Israelis, to God's kids, it was light. And then the next day, they were baptized in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 and 2. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There's two baptisms right there. And Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, it talks about the foundation principles being the repentance away from dead works, faith on God, and the doctrine, faith on God, not toward God. I don't like that translation. It's wrong. It's pros, faith. Epi-God. It is not pros. It is epi, faith, epi, on God, like epidermis, on God. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So when they crossed through the sea, that was the next baptism, and those were in those stages. So some people, we don't know exactly when they're baptized in the cloud. It might be at an age that they are, God surrounds them with his cloud. This is something God does, and we don't know exactly when that happens. That person might know that all of a sudden he starts reading his Bible. He starts seeking God. He sets himself, he's not going to follow the world. He separated himself from the world. I'm not going to go that way. But there is a separation, and he's not living in Egypt or in the world at that time under Pharaoh being Satan. He decides, I don't like this mess. I mean, look at the world today. That's Egypt, right out the door. It's around us. And he separates himself, and then he is in the sea. And what happens in the sea is when the Israelites all went through, they became God's kids. At that moment, they became his children, sons of God. And the Egyptians attempting to go through, what happened to them?
They were utterly destroyed at the same event.
Along with whom?
Pharaoh.
And who's Pharaoh?
He's like Satan. Yeah.
He is Satan.
In the same event, his children are saved and made his sons.
Were born there.
Yeah. So there's a baptism when we die to the world. I don't want the world ruling over me anymore. I'm going to live for God. And we turn our back on the world. And when that happens, that's between us and God individually. Maybe the minister, and I likely won't even know. Well, most ministers don't know much about baptism anyway, really, what it means. And they don't talk about the circumcision of the heart in the New Testament. And even the Old Testament talked about a day when God would circumcise our heart. And God calls that in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart. Actually, there is a creation going on there. God creates a new creation called the Son of God.
He creates a clean heart, and then he says he's going to renew an upright spirit within me. He makes a place to put the upright spirit.
Isn't our song, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me? Do you know that one, Dan?
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of the salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Is that whole song, is that exactly all words from Psalms 51, or is there something else added?
There's other things that he talks about, being purified with hyssop.
But that's Psalms, it's found in Psalms 51.
51,
yeah. I think verse 10?
Something like that.
Anyway, I believe it's somewhere right in there. You can find that, but that's interesting.
The other thing about baptism is John the Baptizer said that Jesus was going to baptize in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And now here in Acts, Jesus actually tells them about they're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I was looking for the verse.
I'm going to read you something. This is Isaiah 44. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. There are, I forget how many, 27 books in the New Testament. Am I right, Andy?
Three nines.
Anyway, Acts, its position is the 44th book in the Bible. Here is Isaiah 44. Remember, Isaiah is the mini Bible. Each chapter has a coincidence with a book in the Bible. So here is the coincidence. like you'll find exactly what is found in Matthew in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 44 is Acts, what you find in Acts. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen, thus says Yahweh, who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, or Israel, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Then you shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. So you can see the difference in the church between the Gospels, and then all of a sudden this is going to happen in the book of Acts. This one will say, I am the Lord's. And that another will call on the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, belonging to Yahweh's, and name himself by the name of Israel. So you see this book they found in the caves of Qumran, this writing, which was the only complete book they found in the caves of Qumran, which predate Jesus, you know, the time of the New Testament. The only complete book was Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. And what it says in the 50th chapter of Isaiah is this, just to recap this. Behold, I send my messenger before my face. Let me find it here.
You mean the 40th?
Isaiah 40th. The
40th. You said 50th.
Did I say 50th?
Yes.
Oh, I never make mistakes, Andy.
Okay.
A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. And those words, behold, I send my messenger before my face, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert highway for our God.
And Matthew 3:3 says, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Interesting, huh? And God preserved Isaiah for us, a manuscript that predates Jesus by 400 years. And they didn't know really, they're trying to put the Bible back all together. They didn't know which manuscripts, which books, and so on. They didn't know which ones belonged in the scriptures, and they were able to prove it because of Isaiah. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.